It is very good to be back with all of you. I very much missed being here, and I hated not getting to be at the New Year's Eve thing, although I would not have been here till midnight. I would have enjoyed being here for a while, but, you know, things happen, and it just didn't get to work out this year, but hopefully next year, unless I have hip surgery again, then I'll be able to enjoy that time. I remember all those that were mentioned. There's a lot of sick with pneumonia, COVID, flu, bad sicknesses. That just keep all of them in your prayers. Also, as we start preparing for Honduras, we'd like everybody to get involved. We'll be doing a VBS. We'll be doing a medical brigade, doing random work probably with housing and things of that nature. But we like to collect things to take with us. Of the biggest, as you go to your dentist over the next few months, if you'll ask for toothbrushes and those little toothpastes, we love passing those out both on the medical brigade, and if we have enough, we'll give them all to the kids for VBS. What they do for the VBS is, I don't know how Richard has worked this out, but he's able to go into four of the public schools there and teach Bible stories. And now they've worked it out where when brigades come in to do VBSs, he takes kids from each of those schools and brings them to the VBS, including, of course, the church kids, and brings them to these VBSs. And their children there at the church is starting to explode. There are more children now at that congregation than there are adults. But his thoughts are, we're building for the future. And what an amen. So anything that you think that can help, clothing, especially things like, I know this sounds weird, socks, underwear, T-shirts, towels, washcloths, things of that nature that we can give out to people. Those are the basic things that people need that we can take and do. If you want to do candies for the children, small toys that we can pass out to the kids, any of those type things would be wonderful. And we'll start, I'll get a table out here. I'll probably put Teresa in charge just because she's good at it. There you go. You're voluntold, Teresa, to get the table set up like we've done for the food drives and things to start collecting for that. But really would appreciate your help in that. Well, the good news is I'm mobile, but the good news for you is I don't want to be mobile for long periods of time. So this Sunday, I've planned a couple of simple sermons for you, for me to be able to get through it and you be able to stand it. The one thing about getting set up in a chair like I have, I've got all of January's sermons done. I've just been going sermon crazy, making lessons, because when you're just sitting there, you're wanting something to do, and so sermons would pop in my little brain, and my brain's kind of like lightning. It appears for a short time, and you've got to use it while it's there. So I've been doing a lot of sermons. This one, because we're starting the new year, for a lot of people, I think 2023 was rough. Matter of fact, I think the last 3 years have been rough for a lot of people, just in the world in general. It started with the COVID mess, and it really hasn't seemed to calm down. This was the year we thought, well, COVID's finally gone, and nope, here it is again, rearing its evil head. There's always something. Two wars started just in 2023 that has gotten us involved. Even though we're not over there fighting, we're heavily involved in both of those. There's been deaths. There's been just so much going on in our lives that I've come up with some scriptures that I think can help bring comfort in a troubled world. I think everyone should have certain verses, scriptures in their lives that they can turn to for encouragement, strength, reminders that God's there. And if you don't have that, then maybe some of these will help for you. I know I have multiple scriptures that, depending on my struggle at the time, that I'm very dependent upon. I keep them on my desk at school. So if I'm struggling, I can literally move my computer out of the way and read my scriptures. Some of them, matter of fact, are the ones that Brent takes the pictures of and puts I've got those under a thing on my desk where I can just read sometimes to refocus my mind. And so I'm hoping that some of these can help you in your life. And maybe as we're looking at these verses, bring a little more depth to them, that they have more meaning. Because sometimes we read scriptures and we just kind of read through them. And we don't stop and analyze. We had a great class this morning, if you were in here, weren't in here with Danny's class, looking at John the Baptist and really trying to get a little deeper into who he was and what was going on while he was here. And it's a lot. There's no way Danny could have done that in one lesson, but he did a good job with what we had time with, and it was a great study. So I'm going to start with a simple one. We see it all the time. We hear it all the time. And I think because of that, we kind of push it to the side and ignore it. But it says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now notice in this version it says "shall not perish." If you look in most versions, it said "should not perish." Which if you go back and look at the Greek, that's actually a better translation. You want to know why? Because it's just because he died for us and we believe in him doesn't automatically make us saved, which some people like to believe that. But we have to obviously obey him. Jesus himself said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I command you?" But notice, God loved the world. Have you looked around sometimes and thought, why is God letting the world still stand? I've heard people make that comment. The world is such a mess right now. There's so much evil. There's so much sin. And of course, probably every generation has felt that way. I know many felt like during World War II that this was God preparing for the end of the world. But here we still are. I know everybody that in 2000, those of you that are alive in 1999, remember all the panic modes that people went through thinking the world was going to come to an end in 2000. But who knows? God may let this world stand another 1,000, 2,000 years. He may not let it stand another week. We don't know. But what we do know, that despite all the evil that's in the world, God loved his creation, human beings, us, so much that he was willing to let his son die the most cruel death that man has ever invented so that we might have a hope of being with him in heaven. That verse is beautiful. It's a beautiful verse telling us what God has done, describing in detail exactly how much he loves us. Have you ever thought of that as a parent? To be willing to sacrifice your child so that others who, let's just face it, didn't deserve it, could live. Now, would I be willing to do that myself? I'd like to believe I would. But you start saying, all right, no, I'm not going to take your life. I'm going to take your son's life. Now, that changes everything. But God so loved the world that he gave his son so that we could have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, that one needs to be one that resonates. Many of you probably, because we see it and hear it so much, you've probably already got it memorized. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves how much God loves us. And that is the most simple verse, easy verse, to remind ourselves that God loved us so much he let Jesus come to this earth. The fact he let him come down here and live in this mess should have been enough. But the fact that he died the death he did willingly, so that we would not have to go to hell. It's a beautiful thought and a beautiful concept. Number two, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight." This is a faith verse, a reminder that God will take care of us. Back this past year, I retired from teaching. I know y'all think, really? Because you're still teaching. But I turned in my resignation in January that I was retiring. I filled out my paperwork. I sent it all in. I was done. And I had complete faith. God's got a path for me. I'm good with this. I know I need to keep doing something. I'll need to keep working. But I'm done with this teaching stuff. Can't do it anymore. Well, I started in March looking for jobs and think, well, I was starting to narrow down what I might physically could do, what I could do with my talents, and started realizing I didn't have a lot. And I looked through March, April, May, June, and up till about June, I had good faith that God was, he's got a plan. Time I hit July, I started wavering. I started getting in a little panic mode. Because see, after July, I didn't get any more paychecks, except for the retirement part. And I hadn't found anything that I thought fit me. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And I started praying a little harder. You know, God, show me a path. By the end of July, Jenny and I were both panicking. Because I still didn't have anything, and we're about to get the last paycheck. And then I got a phone call. Somebody called me and offered me a job that I could physically do in an environment that's so much better. And something I love it. I love what I'm doing. Now, some of you may say, well, that was just dumb luck. No, I think it was God. And I looked back after I got the job and I thought, why did I waver? Got to understand, God does things on his own time. I'd have liked it a lot better if he had done that for me back in May. But the timing wasn't right. Maybe I needed my lesson in faith. Because I kept having faith on this one side, but the other half of me was like, oh no. Satan was getting in there. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You see, I was getting kind of dependent upon myself. I have to find a job. I have to find. And yes, I needed to be looking. I needed to be doing my part. But I needed to trust in the Lord with all my heart and understand and just submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Have you ever just prayed to God? I do all the time. Show me the path. At least when it comes, Lord, give me the wisdom to know that's the path and go down that path. Because I look back at my life and I know I've been given opportunities and I blew them because I wasn't paying attention. Doors were open that I didn't go through and I should have. And sometimes it's dealing with people's soul salvation, and I blew opportunities. So as I've gotten older, I pray, God, you help me see and help me be patient. Because sometimes in our lives, we lean on our own understanding. We lean on our own people, and we lean on human beings. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. Danny made a comment in there that, you know, sometimes God says no, but sometimes God says not right now. And that's where we struggle, isn't it? Is that patience. Read the scripture and remind yourself, God's in charge, and God is there for us. Number three, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I've put this one there because it follows perfect with the one we just did, or at least I think so. Sometimes we go through storms. That's what I call them, storms. And I call them that because I remember the apostles, I remember going through the storms, and Christ is asleep, and they're saying, you know, Lord, do you not care? And he stands up and says, peace be still. And the wind and the rains and the waves all ceased. And he turned to him and said, why do you have so little faith? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Even when we go through bad things, we've got to know that God has a good plan to come out on the end of it. Saw somebody posted something. I know they meant it as a joke, but they posted something that due to high electrical prices or something, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. And I'm going to tell you, no, it hasn't, because the light at the end of every tunnel is God. We've just got to keep going until we get there. God has a plan, even in the darkest of times and the worst of storms and the longest of tunnels. And there's people going through those tunnels right now in this room. They're battling that storm too. And it's easy, just like I did with my job, to start wavering in our faith because we're not getting the answers as fast as we want. Things aren't happening the way we think they ought to happen, when they ought to happen. But we know we should. Not that we think, not that it's a consideration. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. The key there is to continue having faith in God, loving God, and obeying God, and let God handle what we can't. And when you stop and sit back at times and analyze our lives, we realize there's very little we can handle. So our job is just to do that and give the rest to God. Do our job, do our part, and the rest of it, I knew I'd do that before it was over. The rest of it, we let God take care of. And brothers and sisters, talking about taking stress out of our lives, if we can just remember scriptures like this to remind us that we should know God's taking care of us. Even when we think, God, where are you? What's going on? God's right there. Number four, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Jesus speaking here. Again, you can see my theme kind of rolling together here. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I just said we can only handle so much, right? We got this percentage of stuff that we in our life, we can do this. Like I could look for jobs. I could be busy doing things of that nature. In my health, I can go to doctors. But you know what? It comes down to God still going to take care of me. He is the great physician. I do what I'm supposed to do and I put the rest in God. And it's amazing how it takes such a burden off of us if we're willing to do that. But notice what Jesus says, come to me all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He wasn't talking about physically tired. I'm physically burdened. God, will you, Christ, will you literally go do my job for me today? No. It might deal with the fact that sometimes we get physically tired. Have you ever been where you're physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted? If you hadn't come to me, tell me your secrets, because I have on more than one occasion. And then there's the scripture that we need to remind ourselves. Come to me and I will give you rest. Usually the reason we get physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually exhausted is because we're counting 100% upon ourselves. I've got to do this. And we can't. And the burden presses down on us so hard, we even feel like we can brick our head up. And Jesus is saying, that's when you come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Stress and worry it's a killer of people. And just think how much Satan tries to put upon our backs of stress and of worry and of concern of things that we have zero control of. And I've heard the definition of, you know, worry is a lack of faith. And I didn't like that. Well, no, that's not necessarily true. But as I've gotten older, I realize, you know, to a degree it is. Worry is human nature. We're always going to worry. We're going to worry about our children, you know, our grandchildren. We're going to worry about our spouses. We're going to worry about people. But God says, put your faith in me. Let me help carry those burdens. Notice his ending there. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's saying, I'll carry the hard stuff. Through those tunnels, I'll get you through them. The light at the end, that's me. Those times where you think, I can't do this anymore. Yes, you can if you let God get you through. I hear announcements of times of people losing loved ones, whether it's spouses, children. Especially in those cases where they've lost a spouse and they're young, that we've talked about here recently. And the first thing I looked at Jeannie when it was announced was, I can't comprehend. And there's times in my life, I'm not going to come to you and say, I know what you're going through. I'll come to you and say, I have no clue what you're going through. I can't comprehend. Because I've not ever gone through it. But every time I go to those people a year or two or three or four later, and you ask them, how did you get through? And every time they say, God got me through. And that's what this scripture is telling us. Jesus can get us through. Point number five, we only got two more, so we're almost there. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. This scripture actually gets used wrong. I hear people use this about, I can do anything. No, you can't. When I was in middle school, I was going to be an NBA basketball player. No, I couldn't. That's not what God's going to give me strength for. You go back and read in Philippians, start at verse 10. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length that you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought down. I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. What he's saying is we can get through life's struggles. The highs, the lows, the roller coaster ride we go through. He will get us through if we have faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Such a short verse, but so much power. And if we put it in its proper perspective of understanding that Paul was able to get through all the hardship, all the struggles, because he put his total faith, God and Christ have a plan for me, I'm just going to roll with it. And he rolled with shipwrecks and being arrested, and he rolled with so much because he had his faith in God, he didn't worry about it. That's where we should be striving for our faith to be. And then finally, number 6. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We're changing gears now, looking in a little different direction. We look at our society today and he says, why is there so much hate? Why is there so much violence and crime? And why? I'll tell you why. Because everybody thinks too much of themselves. Arrogance, pride, selfishness, greed. There's so much crime because people think they deserve to get what everybody else can have. And that's just not true. We need to learn to be content with what we have. For by the grace given me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. God gives grace to those who humble themselves before him. And we cannot be arrogant and humble at the same time. Those two cannot exist together. Because arrogance is of Satan, humility is of Christ. One has to go. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. What did Christ say about himself? He was lowly and humble in heart. We're Christians, so what are we supposed to be? Lowly and humble in heart ourselves. And if we are, God will provide. But are we willing to humble ourselves down and put the faith in God that he truly deserves? That's the personal question. There's the heart one right there. Wham. Arrow shot. Do we truly have the faith and the love of Jesus Christ that he's going to do the things that he tells us? There's our challenge. It's mine. It's a daily challenge. You know, it's easy to say, like I told you, I was good for months with that path, and all of a sudden Satan started getting to me. I started stressing. I started worrying. And then God said, okay, fine. You're about to fall. I'll just go in and fix this for you. And I felt so small. And I apologized to God in prayer. You know, why did I waver? 55 years he's taken care of me. We need to have faith. We're going to continue tonight, but I'll end with this one. This is actually not one of the verses, but it would be a good one. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Brothers and sisters, the only way we can have any of the peace we've been talking about, the help, the guidance, the pathway, the love, the grace, the mercy, eternal salvation, all of which we just read in those 6 verses, is through Jesus Christ. I can't give it to you. There's not an elder on the face of this earth that can give it to you. There's not a preacher on the face of this earth. There's this guy that's advertising right now. He has a QR code that you can scan and get salvation. That's a new one right there. You can scan salvation. No, you can't. That guy can't give you salvation any more than I can. Only Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus Christ died for your sins. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse you from your sins. And only through obeying Him can we have eternal life. This morning, if you're ready to obey the gospel, we're here for you. Come forward, repent of your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness, not only of the sins of your past, but so that you can constantly turn and repent in your future, and He will continue to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And if you are a Christian, maybe this morning you're realizing you're in one of those dark tunnels. Maybe you feel like somebody's turned that light off at the end. They hadn't. Satan may be trying to hide it, but brothers and sisters, Christ is there. We just have to have the faith. So whether you need to be baptized or if you need prayers this morning, will you come as we stand and sing?